Good morning. It is good to see everybody here, and welcome to our visitors. I'm if those of you who don't know me, I'm Jim Cooper, the pastor, and we are so thrilled and very thankful that you're here today, and pray that you'll come back. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And I would like to ask you to please stand, if you would, as I read from God's Word. Today, I'm going to be preaching on time to move forward. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for the reading of your word. And God, may the word that we have read today, let us apply it to our hearts and lives, that we will live by it. That, Father, we will make the conscious choice today, Father, to go after you and pursue you, Lord, and to live our lives dedicated and devoted to you, growing in Christian faith, letting your love change us each and every day. Father, thank you now. And as I pray that as I preach this message, that every word will come from you, Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching this message because, well, number one, we're at the last Sunday of 2025. Next week, on Sunday, we'll be in a brand new year. And the thing that always happens, people start right after Christmas between now and New Year's Eve, and what's the one thing that everybody does? They make a resolution. And what happens when people make a resolution? Well, they might adhere to their resolution for 1 week or 2 weeks, maybe a month, but after a while, they kind of start to retreat back to their old ways. And the resolution that they made, the words that they said, no longer are being applied to their life. And what I want to encourage everyone today with is I don't want you to make a resolution. I don't want you to make a resolution about what you're going to do in life. I want you to make a promise to God. That's what I want each and every one of us to do. Myself, I'm not going to point this way. I'm going to do this. That every single one of us, and I pray that you'll point at yourself right now and say, we want to make a promise that we're not going to be the same in 2026 what we were in 2025. That we're going to have the kind of heart that we're going to go after God. I think his name is Tommy Tenney, wrote a book called God Chasers. And I read that book many years ago. But I want every single one of us to make a promise. Now, when you make a promise, that means you're making a vow that this is something you're going to stand up to and you're going to stand behind and do it. But if you make a promise to God, I pray that in 2026 that we will be the kind of people that this church will grow more than it has. Now, we've seen growth in 2025. We saw baptisms happen in 2025. We saw a few folks get saved in 2025. But in 2026, I want to see all of that tripled, more salvations, more Sunday school classes, more youth, more children, more young adults, more middle-aged adults. I want to see all of us growing in Christ. And I would love to. Now, we have an all-new plumbing on that baptistry. So you know what I say for 2026, Effie? I say in 2026, we put that plumbing to good use and that we don't let the seals dry up on it. So anyway, I'm going to get in the message now. All right. The need to move forward. The first thing I want to look at is why we get stuck. We get stuck in our past because we dwell on past failures. We dwell on past relationships, successes, or hurts. And this is something that I want to just take just a quick moment to talk about this. Because every single person is guilty because something has occurred in your life, whether it was this year, whether it was last year, or whether it was years past. People get stuck because of an occurrence in their life. And when that occurrence happened, it literally angered you or it hurt you to a point that you could not shake it. You couldn't let it go. Basically, pride or fear or whatever got a hold of you and you let something just really start to eat at you. And then you decided over time, well, I'm not going to forgive that person. And people have been stuck because something took place in their life and they did not want to let it go. And I want to share this with you. When you let something negative fester in your heart and in your mind, it's going to take root and it will grow and it will start to choke out your joy. It will choke out your peace. And it will definitely choke out your relationship with God the Father. You will not be able to walk and follow Christ when you are living in the things that happened in times past. Now, as a pastor, I've pastored 6 churches in 38 years. I think that's pretty good. But I've had things happen in churches. And yeah, there's been times that I've gotten upset with people because, well, I was young and dumb and I didn't really let myself mature in Christ's love as I should have. But I would let things get a hold of me and they became a stumbling block in my ministry. And there were times that God had to set me on my hind end in a pew in a different church, not pastoring, because I was refusing to forgive and I was refusing to go on. Number one, I was scared of letting everything go because I was trying to control it all. I want to read scripture to you from Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now that's pretty true and strong words right there. That's Jesus speaking. What Jesus is talking about, here, let me give you an example. When a farmer would use a horse and he would use a plow, he would put his hands to the plow and that farmer would have to focus on what he was doing in order for his furrows to be straight. What he is plowing had to be a nice straight line. The line could not deviate and go all kinds of ways because then the crops wouldn't grow right. So a farmer puts his hands to the plow. He looks straight ahead because if he keeps looking back at what's going on back here, his furrows are going to be all over the place. I'd hate to see a field what it would look like when something's trying to grow in that mess. But a farmer that keeps his eyes straight ahead and focuses on the task ahead, he's going to have good crops. He will have an abundant harvest. And what Jesus is saying, people who go into the Christian life and give their heart and life to the Lord, you're making a commitment to God. You're putting your hand to the plow. And as a Christian, you should look straight ahead at the task ahead of what God has laid out for your life. And Jesus said that the one who puts his hand to the plow and looks behind is not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's because Christian people are stuck. They're living their life. They keep looking back at the past. They're looking at the bridges that have been burned. They're looking at the has-beens and the already events that have been lived out. And they keep looking back like there's some kind of hope, like they can resurrect something. And that's where, when people start looking back, that's when the devil will come in and the devil will hit your life. And the devil, he seeks to destroy you in any way that he can. And he will put these kind of distractions. So if you're always looking back, your eyes will not be on God the Father, and you will have a difficult time serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. Complacency, that's being comfortable and settling instead of striving. Now, this is what happens to every single church. I don't care where the church is at. People get to a place, they say, all right, wow. We set out, we have so many people in here now. We've got who we want. We don't want nobody else. We don't want to change. We don't want to be taught anything deeper in God's Word. We don't want to, we just want to come together on Sunday and we want a sermon that will tickle our ears and make us feel good. We don't want to be pressed to grow in Christ. And then we want to leave and go home and still have that glittery feel-good feeling going on. But churches today that are comfortable, that's the way they're going to remain. And there's and I want to say this. People will die off in the church. Change comes there. Every single day, change happens in your life. So it, whatever happened in 2025, leave it. So in 2026, we need to challenge ourselves as Christian people that we're not going to be comfortable in our churches anymore. We need our toes stepped on. So when I preach the Word of God, I'm not going to stand up here and give you some seminary-wrapped sermon that's been practiced and rehearsed. What I want to preach to you is coming from the Holy Spirit of the Lord God, that He is speaking through me, because we need to be challenged. We need to change in our lives. We need to show the world and Southern Illinois that Boscadale Baptist Church is not your typical church. We need to show Jackson and Williamson County and Union County that we are not settled. We need to keep pressing forward. Like Paul said, I press toward the mark, toward the high calling of God. So in 2026, there are so many things that God will have before us. But here's what we need. We need to have our eyes wide open. We need to have our heads straight forward. And we need to have our hearts locked on to the Lord. And we need to grow in our relationships with Him. And we need to change. This church, and I'm not going to pick on any other church, and I ain't picking on nobody here, but Boscadale needs to change. We need to forget what's happened in the past, and we need to be expectant of what God has for this church in the future. I know I've said this many times, but we need children. We need young people. We need programs. And the one thing I can't, that I've never been able to stand in any church that I've served, when you want to do something and you know God is talking to you about it, is people come and say, nope, we don't need to do that. We've never done that before. We're going to bring the axe down and cut that thing and kill it right there. And that's not how God wants us to live as a church. We are supposed to move forward. So we need to get out of our comfort zone. If you remember when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you on the water. He was not wanting to stay settled. He wanted to walk on the water. He let go of his fears and he let his faith take over. And Jesus said, come. And as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus,
He was able to walk on the water. See, Peter, he looked straight ahead. He had his eyes on the Lord, and he was able to walk on the water. But the moment he turned his head to the side and he started to notice the storms that were raging around him and the wind that was howling, he got his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. And he cried out to the Lord to help him. And Jesus reached out and took him by the hand. And what I want to encourage you with today is get your eyes on Jesus. Get out of the boat and keep your eyes locked on him. And you walk forward. Don't worry about what I'm doing or what anybody else is doing in the church. But you have to worry about yourself. And you have to say, God, this year I make the commitment to you to do this in my life and to do this or that in my church, whatever it may be. Then there's grumbling and complaining. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they were letting difficulty stop them from growing. And I'm not going to hit on this too long, but we as Christian people in the church, we've got to quit our negativity. We can't come to church and we can't worship God and then start gossiping and tearing everybody down around us because we're not going to grow if we do. And you know, I want to say something too. If you have people that are visiting a church and we're broadcasting, man, we're a church of love and we do this for the Lord and we're Christians and visitors hear people after church hear us saying negative words, you know what kind of a shadow that cast over this church? It cast a pretty dark shadow. That's why Jesus says, everything about our speech, everything about what we think, it has to be rooted in Christ. We've got to speak good things. We have to treat others with love and compassion. Because when we do, we're going to grow in our relationship. And then when we start to grow in a relationship with Christ, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have joy take over in your life, and you're going to have a joy that will be never ending. Fear and distractions. Allowing circumstances or people to control you, even emotions. I tell you what, I've talked to so many people that have told me about people from their past who had like this authoritative fist over them, and they would never do anything in their life until that person gave them approval. Let me tell you something. You don't need anybody's approval in this church body to grow in Christ. You don't need anybody's okay to go pray. You don't need to get anybody's acceptance. If I'm going to say this, you may run me out of here. That's all right. Because I'm preaching God's word here. You want to raise your hand in church and praise the Lord, you do that. If that's what God's leading you to do, don't do something, you know, out of what you're thinking up here, but what's coming out of your heart through the Lord Jesus. If you want to pray, you pray. If you want to come to the altar while I'm preaching and you want to pray, or if somebody wants to get saved, you come forward. Don't let fear stop you. See what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan come along and he started to twist all of what God commanded Adam and Eve. And he got before Eve and he twisted all the words that God spoke to them and made everything sound so good and pleasant and plain. And he made Eve fall and then Adam fell. And then today, what are we going through in our church? We're letting the devil come in here. We're letting the devil have an authoritative stance in our hearts and lives. And we're doing exactly what the devil wants us to do. God has told us how to live one way in his word. But the devil is using his tactics to twist God's word. And he wants to keep us in bondage. He doesn't want us to grow. And if we continue to live in fear, then we will never take one step forward as we walk in a relationship with Christ. I'll tell you what happens to a church that operates out of fear and negativity is that church will eventually have a closed doors, is what will happen. That's why I know I've preached this before, and I'll say it again. I don't believe that one or two or three people in the church should be this controlling force and everybody else just cowers because of them. That's not it. I've known pastors to pastor a church, and pastors will use this powerful, I don't know really what kind of word I want to use, but an iron fist. And I've known pastors who would bring fear to a congregation that you don't do this and you don't move until I say so, and that is wrong. Everybody that's in the body of Christ should be growing together. And when you see somebody who's stumbling, when you see somebody who's maybe going through a difficult time, that's when you are the one. You don't wait for someone to give you the okay. Christ has already given you that challenge and charge. You step forward and you talk to that individual. You pray for them. If they have a need, you help get that need met with whatever resources. See, God will provide everything that we need. But we are at a time where we have to get out of living in fear. We can't be afraid of what the world thinks of us as Christian people. Jesus never once lived in fear. Jesus had a life and a ministry. He was given orders by His Heavenly Father. And when He came to this earth and was born, He marched forward every single day, and He always said, "Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done." Now, that's enough for being stuck. I want all of us to get out of being stuck from this year and go into 2026 with biblical principles for moving forward. This is the most important thing you can ever do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on deacons. Don't put your eyes on trustees or Sunday school teachers. Don't put your eyes on anybody else in the church. Because if you do, you're building your house out on sand. That's exactly what's happening. You put your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who rose again on the third day. And He's the one who's coming back. He's the one that gives you power and authority. He's the one that dries your tears. He's the one that will walk with you. Just as that song goes, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's narrow way." So through all of the trouble and all of the struggles in life, if you will just simply let go, put your faith in Jesus and trust Him with faith, He will help you to grow and He will help you to walk forward. Forgetting what's behind you. And I just read out of Philippians 3:14, pressing on toward the goal. Now, our goal as a church is not to see how many fellowships we can have, how many good times and we can have and all that. That's not what our primary focus is. Now, it's okay to have fellowships, and I believe in that. I believe in having get-togethers, but we have to press forward. We have to get out and tell people about Jesus Christ. We have to witness. There are a lot of people who will never pick up a Bible and read about the wonderful red letters of the Gospels of the Bible. They will never read about Jesus giving His heart and or giving His life on the cross and shedding His blood for their sins. But one way people will get the message is if we will take a bold step forward and we will go to them and we will share with them what Christ has done in our life, the change He has made. And I've told you this before, I used to be a recluse. I was, can you believe that? I was a recluse. I was one of those introverts. I was a bad introvert. I would walk the school halls by myself. I would take shortcuts to avoid people. And then as soon as school got out, in my car and go home. And I'd sit in my room. I didn't want. And can you imagine that I'm a pastor? Now that's what God can do. Because when I got saved, I mean a whole new life opened up before me. And God said, here's what I have before you. Look at all the glorious things you could do. Now, there's going to be some thorny paths along the way, but you keep a hold of my hand and you look to me and you trust me, and I'll get you through every difficult walk in life. And I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And man, when the Lord changed my life and He wanted me to pastor, yeah, it was a struggle surrendering for a little while. But as soon as I did, God started to open doors and do things with me that I never thought possible. Man, when Jesus got a hold of my heart and He put a love there that I never had before, because I've told you, I wasn't raised with love. I didn't know what real love was until Jesus came to me. And I opened my heart to Him and received everything that He's got for me. And now I love to share that with everybody that's around me. In order to move forward, we also have to renew our minds. Be transformed by God's Word. So, how do you get transformed by God's Word? By reading it. By studying it. And you're going to get sick of hearing me over the years probably say this every Sunday, but if I have to, my father used to say, son, I got to beat this into your head to make you understand it, don't I? Because sometimes he'd say things and I just wouldn't really catch on until I got that belt laid to me. Then I really understood. But don't ever let yourself get to a place where God has to chastise you to get the message inside of you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to bless you. He wants your mind to be totally renewed. That's why you can't stay stuck on yesterday. You can't stay stuck on what happened. I mean, 4 months before my daddy died, my dad said, son, I'm sorry for how I treated you. And he cried his eyes out. And the only thing I could do was wrap my arms around my dad and say, Dad, I love you and I forgive you. And then I had the best 4 months with him that I'd ever had in who knows how many years. And when he died, I knew he went to heaven. But I don't stay stuck on what my dad did to me. I don't stay stuck on what people have said in the past. And I'm sure not going to let people today say, well, Brother Jim, you can't do this and you can't do that. If God says we're going to do it, then we're going to do it. And we're going to move forward. Now, I was pastoring a church one time before, and I had people said, you know what? I don't care what you want to do, we ain't going to do it. So I preached that morning, and I said, hey, all right. I said, let me tell you what. I said, if anybody in this church doesn't want to be involved, and all you're going to do is cause trouble, I said, you know where the doors are. I said, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And somebody came up to me after church and said, well, that was a little bit rude and mean of you. No, that was not. Because if we're going to be in God's house together, then we got to love together and serve together. Then we can't be causing any discord. So whatever's happened in your past, get rid of it. Christ will transform your mind and your life, but you got to ask Him. Now, He's not going to wave a wand over you and say, whoop, it's all gone. Here's what God's going to do. God's going to challenge you to walk by faith, not by sight. And God's going to challenge you to trust Him, and God's going to want you to grow in Him. God's going to want you to get up out of bed every day and say, Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, help me to love the unlovable. Help me to grow. Transform my mind. Make my life what you want it to be, Heavenly Father. Faith and obedience, that we trust God's leading and that we walk obediently in His commands. Now, you got to trust God with every fiber of your being. That's what faith is. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. God says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So how can you live for the Lord if you're not going to have the kind of faith that's going to take to do that? Then we have to hope in God's promises. Because, see, every single day, God's doing new things. God does something new every day. Are you expecting every day for God to do something good in your life? Or do you just have the gloomy outlook that, well, this is how life has been. This is where I'm going to stay. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. Because we need our toes stepped on to make us grow and get out of it. But for those people who stay stuck and don't ever want to move, guess where you're going to be in 10, 20 years? In the same place. Guess where your Christian life is going to be? It's going to be in the basement. It's going to be dark and dreary. You're never going to grow. But if you say, hey, I'm taking the step out. I'm getting out of that bucket of misery. And I'm going to start walking. See, your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel. And you should be walking forward. And you should be hoping in God's promises. Your outlook every single day should be, Father, I know that you have great things in store for me. Yeah, there's going to be difficulties today. But Father, thank you that through them I'm going to rejoice. How many of you rejoice when things are going bad? Does anybody ever rejoice in time? Now, I want to share something with you, and I'm not elevating a member of my family, but last week we had a funeral service for a dear sweet lady in our family that had died. You know what her husband was doing? He was up there by the casket, and he was joyfully telling people what God's doing in his life. His wife had passed away. And of course, most people think you'd be maybe crying. And I know that stuff happens. It does. But here's what I found. This is what spoke to me. He stood up by her casket. And he was rejoicing and fellowshipping with others in Christ Jesus at his wife's visitation. And after the funeral service was over with and people walked by, He was hugging everybody, and he said he knew he was going to have difficult times, but he was trusting the Lord, and that spoke volume to me. But God is with us through every step in life. Now, some practical steps to move forward. I'm going to read these off, and then I'm going to close. First of all, let go and let God. That means you have to release your past. You've got to get your past out. And you've got to let it go. I'm talking whether it's a past relationship with somebody, marriage, whatever it may be, whether it's a feud you had with a family member or a friend, get it gone. It's in the past. Get over it. Today's a new day. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. Release it and let it go. If you don't, you're never going to grow in Christ and you'll never move forward. You'll stay right where you're at. Consecrate. That means to set yourself apart from distractions and commit to His service. I want to say something. When I got saved, I hung out with a rough crowd. Man, I hung out with some guys that were just, I mean, foul-mouthed, dirty, awful. And I thought, after I got saved, man, I thought I could still hang around them and I'll still be all right. I'm a Christian now. And you know what I started noticing? I started noticing finally the way that they acted, how they conducted themselves, and how immature it sounded, and how different it made me feel inside. And I found myself drifting away from them the closer I got to Christ. And you know what? A lot of these guys today are still alive. A lot of them have been in jail. A lot of them have gone absolutely nowhere in their life. And I'm not making fun of them. I feel sorry for them. I do love them. And I pray for my old friends. But I don't want to be a part of that. I want to set myself aside from what's going on in the flesh in this world. And I want to submit to God. And I want to resist the devil. And I want to live for Him. I want the world to know that Jesus is my Savior. Building and establishing. That's working on family. Well, let me say this first. Your relationship with God first. See, you've got to have a relationship built on God or you ain't going to go nowhere. You can't build on anything else because your house won't stand when the storms come. But you work on your relationship with God. Then you work on yourself, work on family, and then ministry. But you get your relationship with God squared away, and I'm telling you what, things will start. You'll see the changes come about. Improve spiritual discipline. That's where we have to enhance prayer, enhance fasting. And what I mean by fasting, giving up things that are keeping you from getting close to God. A lot of people think, now that can mean food, certain foods, whatever, but if God wants you to fast or do any of these things, you ask God. Don't call your neighbor down the road and say, hey, what do I need to do to get my life closer to the Lord? You go to God, pray to Him, and then give Him worship and praise. There ain't nothing wrong. When I'm driving down the road, I'm praying or I'm singing. I don't care what people beside me in traffic think. They might think he's some nut talking to himself. That's all right. Well, I'm talking to my Savior and Lord, and if I'm singing out loud, and it may not sound pretty to nobody else, but I know the Lord's receiving every bit of praise. And it's wonderful to Him. When we do these things, the Lord will pour Himself out upon us. And God will start to move in mighty ways. That's why I preach this message today. This message is not a message to condemn anybody or to judge you. That's not what this message is there to encourage you and to challenge you and myself. Let's leave 2025, leave it behind, the things you can't change and the things you can change. Go into 2026 and let's see Boscadale Baptist Church really grow in Christ Jesus, and let's see every one of us grow in Him, and let's see this baptistry really being used. I don't know people's hearts because I'm not inside your heart. It's only between you and God. But if you've got a struggle that you've had in 2025, I want you to lay it beside right now.